As she said, I'm Kayla Brewster, and I'm a senior from Southern Illinois University of Carbondale, and I'm an undergraduate student researcher in the Weed Science Lab. My project is a collaborative project between the Weed Science Lab and the Plant Pathology Lab, looking at the allelopathic effects of Palmer amaranth on some soil fungal pathogens. So a little background on Palmer amaranth. It's an up-and-coming driver weed for Southern Illinois. It's been down south and steadily moving north these oncoming years, and it's also increasing in resistance along with the range expansion. It's resistant to three sites of action in Illinois, which would be ALS, glyphosate, and PPOs. Those are groups 2, 9, and 14. And as you can see in the map there, for 2013, the blue is all the confirmed Palmer amaranth populations we had in Illinois. The yellow is where we had confirmed glyphosate resistance. And you can see in 2016, not only has the populations of Palmer amaranth spread, we've also had a spread in glyphosate resistance. And we also added the red PPO resistance in Southern Illinois. The reason behind Palmer amaranth's rapid evolution is that it is a dioecious plant, which means it has the male and female plants. And it also has to have obligate outcrossing, where it means that it cannot self-pollinate. It has to have that genetic outcrossing. And it is also a very prolific plant that produces upwards of 600,000 seeds per plant. And these seeds are very small, which allows them to be transported very easily. Palmer amaranth has confirmed allelopathic effects on plants, on multiple plant species. They have been confirmed for onions, carrots, and tomatoes. And previously at SIU, I did an allelopathic study looking at its effects on row crops, corn, and soybeans, which you can see pictured there. I will be presenting a poster later on at the conference, and it is poster 312. The fungi that I used in this experiment are all economically important pathogens for corn and soybeans. They cause other diseases other than the ones that I listed here, but they also cause diseases for other species too. The ones that I used were the Fusarium vergiforme, the Fusarium graminearum, Pythium ultimum, Rhizoctonia solani, and Macrophemina faecalina. This project, as I said, was an exploratory study to test the allelopathic effects of Palmer amaranth on some soil fungal pathogens. And we were doing this by looking at the radial growth and the biomass production. This picture here is a picture of a Palmer amaranth infestation. It's actually supposed to have soybeans in this field. A researcher of ours was driving down the road and he saw this from his vehicle and he went and talked to the grower. This field had been in fallow and out of production for upwards of 10 years. And whenever he tried bringing it back into production, he had this weed that popped up. Treated it with glyphosate, it was glyphosate resistant. And for an area that had an unknown Palmer population before and for it to also be glyphosate resistant was an odd occurrence. Come to find out, it was really close to the river and we believe that it came there by waterfowl. And as we've learned from Dr. Kevin Bradley at Missouri, it can travel in waterfowl upwards of 1,700 miles. So for our radial growth experiment, we had the five fungal pathogens. And we used 30 petri dish plates. 15 of them had Palmer amaranth residue added into the potato dextrose agar, and 15 of them without. We took plugs from 7-day-old fungal cultures. They were 6-millimeter plugs, which are in the picture there. And these plates were incubated at room temperature for 7 days. Over the 7 days, we took the radial growth was measured twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening, which is what's pictured there is my radial growth measurements. And then the data was analyzed using a PROC mixed method, which had a three-way repeated measures analysis of variance, which looked at hour by treatment by species, all looking to see on whether or not we could answer the question if it had an effect on the radial growth over time. So over the entire model, this shows the significance of it over time. When looking at the next few slides, it's going to be looking at the species individually, looking at the treatment by species effect. So the Fusarium graminearum, it did not have a significant effect with the treatment and species interaction, but you can see that there was maybe a few slight differences in the picture, but there was not a significant effect on the radial growth. Same thing can be said for the Fusarium vergiforme. Although there might be subtle differences within the pictures, there was not anything that could be noted on the radial growth. With the Macrophemina faecalina, there was not a significant effect on the radial growth, and this is probably because it's a fast-growing fungi, which is why you see the leveling off in the graph there. But you can see in the picture that has the palm amaranth residue added in there on the left that there is a slight coloration difference. It's not nearly as dark in color as the one that did not have the palm amaranth residue added in. With the Pythium ultimum, this one probably had the most prominent effects on the radial growth. It had an increase in growth, which is the dotted line there that has the palm amaranth residue added in compared to the one that did not. And you can actually see that there is more production in the picture of the one that has the palm amaranth residue. With the Rhizoctonia solani, this one was also highly significant in the fact that it increased the radial growth of the fungi, but there was less vertical growth of the hyphae on the fungus in the one that had the palmar amaranth residue added in, which is there. For the biomass experiment, we had the three fungi, Macrophemina faecalina, because we saw that coloration difference, and then the Rhizoctonia solani and the Pythium ultimum, because they were our significant species in the radial growth. We had 18 150 milliliter aromatic flasks. Nine of them had potato dextrose broth with the palmar amaranth, and nine of them without, so we had three reps again. And we took 6 millimeter plugs from 7-day-old cultures of each fungus, which you can see in the picture there. And then the cultures were incubated on a shaker for 7 days at room temperature. On the seventh day, we separated the biomass from the liquid media, and the biomass was dried and weighed. And the data was analyzed using a two-way analysis of variance, with species and treatment being our factors. The picture there is a picture of the shaker that we used, and it was completely randomized. Every day I checked it, I'd move the flasks around, and you can see a picture of how we had the flask placed on the shaker. With our Macrophemina faecalina, you see that there is a significant increase in the growth of the fungus and the biomass weight that has the palmar amaranth residue added in. It's the red column there. The blue column is the one without. Here you can also see that there is a slight color difference again in the one that the one here that has the palmar amaranth residue added in is actually lighter in color, and it actually has a white mass around the plug that the other one did not. With the Pythium ultimum, you also see that there is a significant effect on the growth of the biomass production. It is increased with the introduction of palmar amaranth. Here, the one that had the palmar amaranth residue added in, there was a thicker consistency. It had a mucus-like texture to it, and the one that did not have the palmar amaranth residue added in, it was more liquid in movement. With the Rhizoctonia solani, there was not a significant difference in the biomass production of the palmar amaranth residue being added in. But you can see that one there was lighter in color in comparison to the one that did not have the palmar amaranth residue added in. With the introduction of palmar amaranth residue, it actually turned a light shade of yellow in comparison to the tan color. This shows that the fungus was still under stress, and it's not producing something that it needs to either reproduce or compete in the field to produce a disease. So my data indicates that there is a fungal species and palmar amaranth residue interaction, and that the concentration in my experiment was kept constant, but literature shows by changing the concentration, you can actually increase your interaction, and it is noted that that is something that we probably will look to into the future. I'm excited about this project, and that's something I want to do. Increased radial growth could indicate potential increases in disease, while the decrease in biomass indicates a slowed growth response, which may indicate less disease. Overall, management of presence of palmar amaranth residue may affect disease, meaning that if you have this in your field, it may indicate your disease. Not only is it a competitive issue with it being in your field competing for nutrients with your plants, and having that allelopathic interaction with your row crops, it could potentially increase disease for your field. I'd like to take the time to thank Potash Corporation for funding my research through an undergraduate research assistantship that I had last year, and thank the SIU Weed Science Lab and Plant Pathology Lab for mentoring me and allowing me to do this research. Any questions? Yes?
I have a lot of questions. I'm only going to ask you one. What I don't understand is when you do the incubations, is the amaranth the only carbon source in there, or do you have another carbon source? So it's not just a carbon source. So you're in the vials, right?
Mm-hmm.
One has amaranth and the other does not. Is there equal amount of available carbon in both? It's a carbon start system, so that's my question.
So he asked if I had another carbon source or another residue in my flasks. The only residue that I used was my Palmer amaranth residue. That's how my mentor suggested that I start this experiment, just to see if we did see a difference, because it was unknown. Any other questions?
When you say three-way statistical analysis, what does that imply?
We were looking. You're asking if the three-way meaning the hour by treatment by species, right?
What does it mean? You say we had a three-way analysis.
We tested the three factors, which were time, which was the hour, the treatment, and the species. With the hour, time is always going to be significant because everything's going to change over time. Our treatment was obviously with the addition of Palmer amaranth residue, and then we tested that on the species itself. So in comparison, we looked at the treatment and species there because we wanted to see if that treatment species interaction occurred. Thank you.